You're listening to the Bottom Line podcast, where those living with or beyond bowel cancer, as well as health professionals involved in bowel cancer treatment and care, share their inspirational stories and lived experiences with host and bowel cancer survivor, Stephanie.
When you're told you have cancer, the world can become a complete blur. You can feel like you are staring into the unknown, but support as you navigate a bowel cancer diagnosis is crucial to ensuring you live well. Having that guiding hand that can assist you across the entire continuum of care can ease the burden and stress associated with a cancer diagnosis. Today we chat with Bowel Cancer Australia's bowel care nurse, Fiona, or Fee, and psychosocial support, Hannah, about how they can support bowel cancer patients and loved ones. Welcome to the Bottom Line podcast, Fee and Hannah.
Thank you. Thank you, Steph.
It's fabulous to be able to chat with you both. The work you do to support the bowel cancer community is so vital, and you've helped so many patients and loved ones navigate this labyrinth that patients are often faced with. It must be really incredibly rewarding. How does it make you both feel?
It's a real privilege to be able to walk alongside patients and their loved ones as they're going through a really challenging time that they've never experienced before. And seeing them navigate that and find ways to deal with the emotional and practical upheaval in real meaningful ways is a big privilege.
I echo that. It's definitely a privilege to be doing this job. And I feel very rewarded when I feel that the information and support that we're able to give really can make a difference to how somebody copes with what is such a difficult time. And just knowing that being able to give them some education and some support in however we can do that might make their life a little bit easier during that time.
And you've been doing it for such a long time, Faye.
I'm an old girl now.
How long? I mean, I've been around for about 12 or 13 years and you've been here that long. How long have you been helping out with support services?
I think it must be perhaps maybe 13 or 14 years then. So, yeah, long time. And, absolutely. I love doing my job. I do feel, like Hannah said, very privileged. So I'm a lucky girl to be doing it.
It fills the soul, doesn't it? I think that's one of the things that I find working at Bowel Cancer Australia. It really does fill the soul, and you are making a true and impactful difference. Why is it so important, do you think, and I'll start with you, Fee, that people find this supportive care?
I think that people cope better when they're well supported. To feel that sense of support can make you feel safer and more understood, and certainly not alone. And just having that information and understanding of what's going on, especially when you're in a very busy hospital system that may not always have that time available to explain everything to the level that you would like it explained, to have that backup team that I sort of call us there as that little extra layer of support for patients to be able to tap into if they need it, can make a real difference. And I truly do believe as well that that there are better outcomes from having the support that we can offer in addition to what they're getting through the hospital.
Absolutely. They go hand in hand, don't they? I think when I was going through bowel cancer, I didn't have that, and I think I really would have benefited from that supportive care. Hannah, you provide psychosocial support, and I know we were chatting the other day, you've never been busier. In broad terms, what is it that your role does? Because I think some people don't fully understand what you can provide.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's a really fair question, because when we think of like psychological support or counselling support, it's not really well understood. So really my role is to just create a safe space for people to explore what's been going on for them, where they don't feel judged or don't actually have to worry about what the other person's feelings are. Because often when talking to your friends and family, there can be a desire to maybe hold things back because we want to protect them. And that feels really isolating. So my role is really to provide that space where we can explore how you've been feeling, you know, if there's difficult decisions that you have to make, we can look at how you feel about them, what your values are, what's important to you, what coping strategies you have, because we all have them. Sometimes they're just a little bit harder to find when you're feeling overwhelmed. So my role is to explore what they might be, link them back in. Sometimes during treatment, they're not always accessible. So we find ways to adapt or learn new ones. And yeah, it's really just about having that space to express how you're feeling while going through so many changes.
I think that's a really important point. I had counseling when I was going through it. And I think that you hold stuff back from family and friends. It doesn't matter. It might be little, it might be big, but you do hold stuff back where you can be really honest and that space to be able to share. Fee, from your perspective, Bowel Cancer Australia has been providing support services for a very long time, and you both have very specific skill sets, but they do intersect. And I think that's important for our listeners to understand, is that the telehealth service that Bowel Cancer Australia provides is bowel care nurses, psychosocial support, nutritionists, exercise physiologists, and they all intersect. Can you talk us through how that might work for a patient?
Yeah, for sure. So patients, all their loved ones for that matter, can access the telehealth support services, which are free. And that can be online, that can be by the telephone, that can be through Facebook support groups that we run as well, that we'll talk about a little bit later. Look, I think from our perspective, when patients first come through to the service and they initially will speak to a nurse, and the nurse will do a full assessment to really work out what that patient needs and how our services can benefit them. And that might be through nutrition, or it might be through lovely Hannah for some counselling support. It might be through exercise physiology. So we do a full assessment. And from that, then we are able to really work out what is really going to benefit that patient, to help them manage their symptoms, their side effects, their nutritional needs, their exercise needs, and their emotional load. So once that's done, we're able to then refer out to the appropriate services, which can obviously be really very, very beneficial, as we've heard and had so much feedback over that it has been, you know, really helpful to have that extra support.
Every person is unique, aren't they? And you know that way better than I do, dealing with being the interface with the patient. And they may not know what they need until they start talking to you, Fee, or one of the bowel care nurses. You don't know what you don't know. Isn't that right?
That's right. Exactly.
Bowel cancer obviously has its very specific support needs. And that is why it's so wonderful having a specific bowel care nurse. What are some of the recurring themes that bowel care nurses get asked that, you know, our listeners might be interested in?
Yeah, I think you're right in saying that, Steph. I think that there are very unique needs for bowel cancer patients. And obviously some of the more common ones that we see would be bowel changes. So managing bowel changes, and that could be constipation, it could be diarrhea, it could be a mix of both, depending on where you are in treatment. It could be managing a stoma, which can be very challenging for people at first. It may be just simply getting that diet and nutrition on track in order to support those bowel changes. It could be fatigue, actually a very common one with chemotherapies and cancer treatments. It could be managing pain. It could be managing sexual health if you've gone through early menopause, or if you're going through radiation treatment. Fear of recurrence is a huge one, you can imagine. And also how to get back to a normal life. That's life after cancer, especially when it comes to things like your relationship, perhaps, or your work, your career, or maybe traveling can then have its own set of challenges if you've got a stoma or you're having bowel issues. So trying to get used to your new normal, I think, is something that we can sometimes help with and coach people through to adapt as needed.
We often hear, don't we, from patients that they are, once they've found you, they are just so appreciative because they can actually get back to a new normal, and they didn't realise that that was possible. And I think that's one of the real beautiful things about the support services that you do give is that you empower them to try and get back to their new normal, which might be different to somebody else's.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know as a patient, if I'd had the support that Bowel Cancer Australia's telehealth support services provided, it would have made my life a lot easier. Hannah, I'm going to ask you this question first. What would you say to a patient who has just been diagnosed, is struggling, and needs to find you?
Yes. When you're diagnosed with cancer, it can feel really overwhelming. It's a situation you've never been in before and typically comes with a lot of unknown and a lot of uncertainty, which naturally makes us feel very unsafe. So you can experience emotions that maybe you've never felt before. And it's hard to really know for yourself then if this is like common or normal, or how to navigate it. And it's a really justifiable reaction to a really difficult situation. So I would encourage people to reach out for that emotional support, that mental health support, whether that be with their treating team and the psychologist in the hospital, their GP for a mental health care plan, or any online service really that provides that counselling support, because it's not just you, right? And it can be navigated and you will find ways to cope, but it's different. It's going to be different. And everyone needs a little bit of a hand every now and then. And there's no, I suppose, shame in that.
That's beautifully put, Hannah. And Fee?
Probably echoing you a little bit, Hannah, there as well, that you really don't have to figure this out on your own. Having support can make this experience much clearer, less frightening, more manageable, and really please reach out early. Ask questions often. No question is too big or too small. Let people with experience walk with you and help you and share their experience, their knowledge. So you can, you know, really try and focus on living as well as your treatment. So it's really important that you do have to keep living through this whole experience as well. And I think that, you know, the telehealth support services and being able to obviously connect with other patients that have been there and done that, it can make a big difference. Mm. So really reach out early. The support is there. If you look for it, we're here.
Absolutely. And we hear that time and time again. I wish I'd found you earlier. Now I've found you, it's made my life so much easier. Hannah, were you going to say something there?
Yeah, I would tack on there, I think, particularly around that word empowering, right? Because when you get in touch with support services and when you get in touch with people with experience and knowledge, our goal is to help you advocate for yourself. We want to empower you in a situation where you may feel like you don't have a whole lot of control. We really want to help you find the ways to feel that sense of control and to focus on that. And yeah, to give you those tools so that you can make this experience fit you, right? And we're all about fitting cancer into your life and not fitting your life into cancer.
Because you do lose control and you feel very overwhelmed. Different people deal with things differently, but it's that control piece, I think, which is really important, which leads me to then, we talk about living well. That's really important, isn't it, Fee? And living beyond bowel cancer as well can also be challenging. You don't just stop seeing people and talking to people because they might be classed as NED. How can you assist patients beyond diagnosis? And I'll go to you first, Fee.
So yes, after sort of an NED diagnosis, support doesn't stop there. I think often it can be one of the most challenging times. Mm. You've suddenly lost that security blanket of the hospital, the doctors, the nurses that are there seeing you for your treatment, you know, every couple of weeks or, you know, every day, however often you've been going in, depending on your treatment. And you're told, NED, off you go, live life as if this is all never happened. And you're suddenly on your own. And I think a lot of the people around you at that time, whether it's family or friends, can also at that point think, well, great, we can all relax a bit now and get back to normal because your treatment's finished. And I think that's often the time when many patients actually start to crumble a bit, because they start to really emotionally process what they've been through for that treatment time, which can be a 6-month period or longer. You're on adrenaline just trying to get through and survive. And once that stops and you're on your own and expected to just pick up life as if nothing's happened, can often be the most difficult time, even more difficult than the treatment itself.
I would echo that.
Yeah.
I could not agree with you more.
Support certainly doesn't stop after treatment. And we know that. We recognise that as a service. And we are there for people ongoing to carry on supporting them emotionally and physically, because those physical changes continue as well. So they still need that support from the nurses, the nutritionists, the counsellors, the exercise physiologists, as they rebuild that confidence again. And that takes time. I often say to patients, we don't send people off to war and expect them to come back from that completely normal, like nothing has ever happened. And cancer treatment is a huge thing, and it's a difficult thing, so we have to kind of respect that. And I think having that support after treatment is extremely important. Certainly doesn't stop there.
And for Hannah, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I agree with everything that Fee said. And I suppose from not just the physical side of things, but from that a mental, emotional and spiritual side, when you have a diagnosis of cancer, sometimes your priorities shift. Not necessarily that they're new, but things can become really clear of what is important to you. And I think that happens after a lot of health scares. And it's a little bit like having this kind of new ladder that you've come out of this with. And you're trying to fit all the jigsaw pieces back together. So where counseling support can come in is really helping you recognize, okay, what has shifted for me? What is the new priority? What are my values? And how do I rebuild my life around that? And sometimes it is just by taking a tiny corner of the jigsaw piece, one bit at a time, until we have that full picture again.
Recurrence. We did chat about this, and I know this is something that comes up a lot, that theme, the anxiety around that. Hannah, do you have any tips for that? I mean, I still, even 13 years down the track, if I have to have a scan, the scanxiety is absolutely a real thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. And I think the first thing as far as tips is to normalize that. Right. It's so understandable why you are scared going into a scan. And even from a psychological perspective, the scan itself, the environmental factors of that, being in that scan is like, ooh, last time we were here, it didn't end well for us. Or I felt really scared after. And your mind will, and your body wants to avoid that at all costs. Right. So it's normal. It's, it happens. And actually, it's not something that we can kind of get rid of, right? That's not really the goal. The goal is to try and manage it and to keep it maybe in the background. And you'll often have people say oh, it's always in the background. And yeah, it is. And trying to keep it there so that it's not impacting your daily functioning or causing you to maybe avoid scans or engage in things that aren't really helpful. That's the goal. But yeah, being able to recognize, as you said, Steph, that okay, I'm going into that scan, that's my trigger. I know it's coming up, and planning around that can be really helpful. So whether that's, our anxiety lives in the future, it lives in those what ifs. So trying to bring it back to the present, even if it's okay, what's my plan today? What's my plan for the next 15 minutes if the day seems a little bit scary, particularly scan day? Planning something nice for yourself afterwards that you can look forward to in those couple of weeks leading up to it, knowing that, okay, this is going to be in the back of my mind? What do I have to focus on that's in my control, as we've already talked about? And what's meaningful? What brings me joy? How can I incorporate a little bit of that in so that it's not all fear all the time? And if you feel like it is becoming a little bit constant and it is impacting, you know, maybe your ability to go to work or being able to get up in the morning, that's when I would really encourage to reach out to professional support, whether that's your GP, whether that's online, or even ourselves.
Yes, scanxiety. It affects us all, I think. We've touched on this before and the importance of peer-to-peer support. It's so very vital, and we have some wonderful online groups that you're in charge of, Fee, and that can really help with the entire continuum of care. Can you talk us through some of those support services and how it can be of benefit to patients and loved ones?
Yeah, we're very lucky. We do have three amazing online Facebook support groups, as well as our peer-to-peer support. We have the Movement, which is our sort of largest group, and is sort of the founding group of everything as well. We have our Forward Movement, which is a stage four specific group for stage four patients, which allows opportunity to have those conversations that, you know, can be quite difficult ones and very unique to patients going through stage four bowel cancer. And we have the Meaningful Movement, which is our exercise group, which is a beautiful group run by our exercise physiologist, Kaylee. She is able to incorporate some online exercise sessions in that group as well, which is fantastic. It's a very motivating group. It's a really lovely space where people share their experiences, what they've achieved from an exercise goal perspective that day or that week, and they share photos, they encourage each other. So that's a really lovely space. On the main group, the Movement, we do have a monthly online, what we call our coffee catch up as well, which is run by patients now. And myself and Hannah also attend that meeting. We have fantastic, what we call expert sessions. So we cover a huge amount of topics, which Steph, you obviously are very involved in with too, talking to different experts about different things that affect people when they have bowel cancer. So we have that there as well. And it really is a beautiful space for people of all stages of bowel cancer to connect and support each other. I think it's really valuable. They share a lot of information with each other. It's a really beautiful, supportive community with lots of different little initiatives that run during the week as well. And we do also still have our peer-to-peer support. We forget that a little bit because the Facebook groups tend to be getting bigger and bigger, very popular. But we do peer-to-peer support as well, where it's more of a one-on-one connection, or through email and telephone if both parties are receptive to that. Any way that we can try and get people connected to share their experiences is often really empowering to the patients and helpful to the patients. So yeah, we have got quite a few different channels that they can connect on.
You can dip in and out of it as you need. You can take information and not interact if you don't want to, but absorb the information, or you can provide information because everyone is unique. And the other piece of the puzzle is, and I've heard this so many times, I've found my tribe.
That's very true, Steph. They're just a beautiful group. And I think just being able to be in a space with other people that just get it, you don't need to explain. They just know, and that comes across very clearly.
It makes you also feel like you are normal, because at times it's not that your loved ones and family and friends don't love you or want to see the best. They just don't understand because they've not been in that situation. And it is just this ease of like an old pair of shoes, isn't it, when you find somebody who understands exactly what you're going through.
That's exactly right. And I think for people to have that there and to be able to dip in and out of it as well as they need, and knowing that people are always going to be there to catch you again, to be there with advice, to share in good news as well, you know, it's a great space.
Yes, no, and I would echo that the group is an incredibly kind and generous group. The other thing I think that's really important with that, Tufi, is that if you are remote Australia or regional Australia and don't have some of that access, the telehealth services can really help because we're filling that gap, as well as finding people in your tribe that you can connect with online is not the same as, you know, say Metro Melbourne, which has a lot of people.
Absolutely. And those bigger city hospitals do have some support groups, and they also have all the services there available as well that can often really be lacking in those rural and remote areas. So the groups play a very important part in connecting people when they're going through something like this.
Absolutely. Finally, I always ask three quick key points that you might want people to take away from the podcast. Fee, what are your three?
I think, like, listen to your body, trust your body. If something doesn't feel right, you need to speak up and follow up, ask questions, feel empowered throughout this. As Hannah pointed out earlier, that is really important, being able to have some control at a time where you're losing so much control is really important, and make sure that your team support you in that control. Your team is there to help you and to empower you. Don't ignore the emotional impact. I think we're so focused on the physical treatment that, like I said, emotional stuff does get put on hold. Don't ignore it. And please reach out early for support.
Fantastic. And Hannah?
I feel like mine overlap a lot, to be honest.
You can share.
Everyone needs a bit of support, right? Mm. This is an incredibly difficult situation that you've never been through before, and you're trying to mess the best. You're trying to cope the best that you can. So reach out, like, let us support you. You're not weak for doing so or struggling. This is, I'm going to use like normal quotation marks, because normal is very relevant, you know, and we've spoke about redefining normal for you a lot. But yeah, this is a common reaction, and you don't have to do it alone.
Fee and Hannah, I know how fantastic you are, and I know how fantastic the Bowel Cancer Australia support services are. You do amazing work, and I would just encourage our listeners to reach out as soon as they can, because I know firsthand from everyone that speaks to me, there is not a person that once they're connected don't say how fantastic you all are and how you've changed their lives and the impact you've made. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing a little bit of what you do for Bowel Cancer Australia and the telehealth support services.
Thanks, Steph.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bottom Line podcast. To find out more about bowel cancer or for support or simply to donate, please go to bowelcanceraustralia.org.